You got questions? Andrew Mason has the answers. This is Mason's Mailbag, presented by Prime Sport.
The first week of OTAs is in the books, and now it's time to dive into the mailbag. I'm Andrew Mason. Thanks, as always, for joining me right here on DenverBroncos.com. And let's get started with a question from Jim Meadows, who wants to know, does C.J. Anderson have the running back job sewn up, or could someone else take it? Well, by no means does he have the job sewn up, even though he's coming off a Pro Bowl season. I'd say he has the pole position right now based on what he did last year and also based on what his skill set and how it's going to fit working behind a zone blocking scheme. But at the same time, you look back at some of Gary Kubiak and Rick Dennison's offenses over the years, and yes, they had Justin Forsett, who was the bell cow running back in Baltimore last year, but go back to what they did in Houston and when the Texans offense was at its most potent on the ground, and when it worked well, it was a two-pronged share the load running attack. You had, you know, Arian Foster and then Ben Tate. Those two guys split carries, did very well, kept each other fresh, and kept that offense humming. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if by the time you get to the regular season, you see two guys splitting the load. So I could see C.J. Anderson and Monte Ball if he earns it. But it's wide open. Not only is Monte Ball in the mix to get a lot of carries, but, you know, Ronnie Hillman comes back for his fourth season. And then Juwan Thompson, I think is a guy that a lot of people are overlooking, but if you can recall last year how much power he ran with, you know, he certainly got the size to be able to be a short yardage back as well. But even with that power and that size, he can get outside, make plays in the passing game, and he's a good blocker, good at picking up blitzes. I think he's going to factor, and I thought Juwan Thompson had a very good day on the first day of OTAs when we were out here watching practice. So I think he's going to be in the mix, and the coaches are also high on Capri Bibbs coming off a year on the practice squad last year. I think he's going to factor in at some point. So, you know, C.J. Anderson, as well as he played last year, nothing's guaranteed, so he's got to come out here. He's got to practice well. You know, he's in shape. He looks good. He's got to keep that up if he's to hold on to the number one job, because the competition behind him, I think, is going to be very stiff. And now on to the subject of the week. Ryan Clady is torn ACL, and this question comes from at Jamie and Connie on Twitter, and they ask, given the latest injury in Clady's injury field career, is it time to just move forward without him? Well, that's a determination I don't think you're going to see for another 8-9 months or so. I think you want to get through the season and see what happens. You know, Tyson Briaux, second round pick, he's going to be first up at left tackle. He's getting the reps in OTAs right now. You know, there's a few reasons for that, starting with number one, you know, if he's going to be a left tackle option, the sooner you get him out there, the better. Number two, you start finding out about him, see what he can do. If he can't handle it out here right now, then you got a veteran option in Chris Clark that you can slide over, who started 17 games at left tackle, including playoffs, back in 2013. But if Sembrilo proves he can handle the job, certainly that's going to have some implications for Ryan Clady when he recovers from the torn ACL. He's got a contract that if he was let go after next year, it would create $1.2 million of dead money. You know, a lot of the guaranteed money is out the window after this year. So a lot could happen. The Broncos could opt to restructure him and bring him back after he recovers, or they could decide to let him go. That's going to be something that bears monitoring. But a big part of that decision is going to be how the Broncos fare at left tackle. If Sembrilo succeeds, if he proves he can do the job for the long term, then certainly I think maybe you're looking at a future without Ryan Clady. But if Sembrilo struggles and Clady heals up well, even with all the injuries that he's had, he could be in the mix. That's something I don't think we're going to know probably until next February, next March. So stay tuned to DenverBroncos.com, and we'll keep you up to date on that. But certainly, Sembrilo can develop and be the left tackle of the future. That's going to be a great deal for the Broncos because, you know, A, you invested a second-round pick in him, and if he's at the left tackle, you're getting first-round value for a second-round pick. And B, you know, he's on the first year of his rookie contract. So if he ends up having to be the left tackle, that's a very affordable left tackle relative to the salary cap. Thanks for the questions. As always, if you want in on next week's mailbag, go to Twitter. I'm at Mace Denver. Use the hashtag AskMace. Or go to DenverBroncos.com/Mason's Mailbag. Or if you're viewing this video on the written mailbag piece, just scroll to the bottom of the page. You can use the form there. Until next week, take care, and thanks for watching.